God's good. Sometimes circumstances don't seem good, but God's still good. And he can change circumstances, right? Anybody got any questions? Not like mathematical questions or geology. You could try it. I might know. I did all right in school. It's been a while. You're not used to this. Like, what's he doing asking his question? What? What's a question? No? What you guys been thinking about? Or shouldn't I ask?
We have been thinking.
Amen. That's good. A Baptist got baptized in the Holy Ghost in front of Culver's, right down the street here yesterday. Yeah. And they were the third people to come up to him within the last couple of days. Tell you, God's got divine appointments out there. Amen. God's got divine appointments for you too. Ask him. Amen. Ask him. Ask him for a divine appointment. Say, I want a divine appointment. I tell you, you don't have to be a scholar. I'm not. all you got to know is how to receive Jesus, and you can tell someone else how to, right? Or pray for him. Ask for a divine appointment. You know, it might be in the workplace, it might be in the store, it might be just some connection where you meet somebody. Got to work it out if you're serious. He'll give you one. That's a good thing. All right? I got a message. Don't worry. Okay, I don't know why I asked that, but I just
sorry about it already.
Yeah, like, oh dear Lord, God help me.
No, you just mentioned when you were praying about being offended at God, I've been there, and I think other people have. You just don't realize that you're being offended. You're just you don't realize that you're offended.
My God.
Yeah, but it's affecting your life. I look at, Job is a book, like, I avoid it. I never read it because I don't understand that. I don't understand, I'm sorry to bring up, like, the hardest book in the Bible. That's how
explain to me Job. I just read it, actually.
And it's, and I know that God looks at things so differently, and he knows man from the beginning, and nothing, I don't believe anything was lost there in eternity, like, God took anything. It was, he already knew, I understand that. It's just so hard. It's hard to understand.
Job or being offended at God?
Well, I think it goes together.
Okay. Is anybody here offended at God? Anybody? And would care to? Yeah. Well, Job was. Job was offended. Job was mad at God. I mean, if you read, Job didn't know very much, but he was a righteous man. He was a man who did everything that was right that he knew, and then all hell broke out in his life all of a sudden, and his assumption was, God, you are unjust. On top of that, he's got three friends around him saying, you just got to come clean, Job. You did something wrong, and this is judgment. And he's like, no, I've done what's right. God is being unjust. And if you read it, his three friends are just one after another coming at him and like, you did something, Job. Just, You may not realize that you did something. So not only does he have all hell break loose, seemingly, he's got his three friends are blaming him. And he's like, I didn't do anything except do everything that I know to be right. And then the fourth guy comes, I forgot his name, and he begins to speak some truth. And then God shows up. It's amazing how God shows up when the truth is taught. Right? If you really read into it, it seems to start raining as this guy is, the last guy is talking and begins to speak truth. And all of a sudden, Job's in this storm, literally. And then God comes in a whirlwind and begins to speak to him. And he starts to say to him things like, Were you there at creation? Were you there when I set the stars in place? And he doesn't bring up any scriptures to Job because none were written. He was around the time of Abraham. There was nothing written yet. Were you there when I put the stars in place? Da 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 da. And he goes through all these animals, and he's like, did you give this animal the wisdom to know how to do this and this and this? And so he's just dealing with creation. And basically, he's just dealing with the one aspect in Job, not, you know, why did this happen? He's not dealing with that. He's like, Job, you're blaming me. You're offended at me. And I have all wisdom. You should be seeking me to get wisdom. Instead, you're blaming me. You know? And he starts to point at creation. I mean, look at one tree. Do you know how that thing works? No. Could you do that? No. God did. He makes it all work. He knows how to make things work. But it's true. We do get offended at God. And as I was praying and speaking that word, Jesus said, you know, when John the Baptist sent the messengers to him, he said, go tell John the things you see and you hear. The blind are seeing, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the gospel's preached to the poor, and blessed is he who's not offended in me. The implication would seem to be that John was not just like, you know, I hate you, God, or something like that, but he's like, what is going on? Should we look for another? Are you just, yeah, we realize you're anointed, but is there somebody else coming? You don't seem to be really doing everything you could do right now. You're not really fulfilling everything that we expected. We're looking for a king to come and take over, and I'm in jail. Something's not clicking here. And that's why Jesus said, blessed is he who is not offended in me. If we're going to be able to walk with God, and if we're going to see the things that God wants to do in our lives, we're going to have to learn not to be offended with them. And usually that offense comes in a subtle way, even with people. Offense comes in a subtle way. Are you offended at them? No, I'm not mad at them. Well, go give them a big hug. Go pray for them. Oh, okay. God, I pray that you would show them how wrong they've been. No, don't pray for them like that. Don't pray for them about their negative stuff. Go pray that God would bless them. Go pray that God would elevate them and do good things in their life. Then you'll see how unoffended you are. God told me once, people are crazy. Now you think I didn't hear God. I heard God. And it's been one of the wisest words I've ever heard. Because is when you start putting, you know, expectations on people of how they should treat you and how they should talk to you and how they shouldn't talk to you, you're going to get offended. Who are they to talk to me like that? It's a subtle form of pride. And you got to realize people are in their own world a lot of times, coming from their mindset. They're not coming at you going, let me see if I can offend them. They're coming from some other direction. Something else is going on. Seeing things from another angle. And you know what? So they said something you didn't, it didn't seem nice to you, or they didn't, you gotta shake it off, right? What happened when the snake bit Paul? What did he do with the snake?
Shake it off.
He shook it off into the fire, right? He shook it off into the fire, and the venom didn't hurt him. But you got to be able to shake things off from the heart. And one of the things, even that would, I think, touches on that word is you have to trust that God really does have your life in His hands. That what He wants to do, He will do regardless of what people do around you or what the situations come about or how it seems like God is coming through or not coming through. God loves you and is faithful. And so you don't have to be offended. Let me ask you, could you get more cruel than taking a man who is completely innocent but because of jealousy, causing him to be brutalized beyond recognition and nailed to a cross? Could you get more cruel than that? Were they taking away Jesus' destiny? No. No. They weren't taking away his destiny. Were they stopping the plan of God in his life? No. No. People can't stop the plan of God in your life. People can't take away your destiny in God. People can't change that. Situations that pop up don't just pop up with God. He knows all. He knew it all along. Right? God knew that the clock was ticking with Abraham and Sarah. That's what he was waiting for. God wasn't like, I do got to move quick here because you're not going to be reproductive here real soon. No, that's what he was waiting for. And maybe that's what he's waiting for in your life. He's actually waiting for the situation that looks like it's going to come against your destiny. So that you can get out of your head. Do I sound boastful? I say I'm preaching real good now. This is the Holy Ghost. He knows right where you live and where I live. Amen. Amen. You know, the Bible says that he placed the, well, and you look at creation, he made light and then he made darkness. And then, what was it the next day? He makes the sun and the moon. He makes light, he makes darkness, he causes it to be day, and then he causes it to be night. And then he makes the sun and the moon. In other words, he put the sun and the moon and the stars there for after the fact, because he knew that man was going to sin, and they were going to need that, and he wasn't going to do that later on. He looked ahead. See, God's not in time. See, and it's the same way with our life. We think, you know, that something happens and oh no, now I'm going to miss out on this or this is not going to happen, whatever. I don't know. But God, you know, we look at time as a line like this. I wish I had a longer thing, but you'll get the idea. We look at time as on a line like this. It's all one in one dot with God. Just everything's together. He's not in time. He, as I've said before, he wasn't the Alpha and he's going to be the Omega. He is the Alpha and he is the Omega right now. He's at the beginning. He's at the end already right now. And I know, like, my name is Joshua M. Pfister, that some of you are struggling with some stuff, and you maybe you don't even know it. And God's saying, I really am bigger than that. I really am stronger. And I really have always known. Trust me. He's faithful. He's faithful. He's faithful. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's just, as an act of faith, just give to the Lord anything that we are trying to do ourselves, or anything, or any offenses, any struggles, anything of ourself, and let's just really trust Him now. And let's just really bring it before the altar. Obviously, you know this wasn't planned. It doesn't matter if it's planned or not. It was planned in Him, I guess. So, Father, we do that. We bless You by not carrying this, but we lay it on the altar before Your throne. God, we say, be our guide. Be our wisdom. Be our God. We thank You, Lord. Lord, we thank You that You're coming for a bride without spot or wrinkle. And Lord, You want us to be joyful, but You're not really concerned about our momentary happiness. You want to do a work that sets a firm foundation in our lives and for what You want to do. Help us to see things through Your paradigm and through Your mindset, Lord. We thank You. Lord, I ask, God, that You would help us to receive the peace that's beyond understanding. Thank You, Lord. Hallelujah. You're going to make it. You're going to make it. That's a word from the Lord. You're going to make it. He's faithful. Any other questions? Woo! Glory. Glory. Hallelujah. No? Yeah? Yeah? No? Anything? Yeah. Little difficult to answer because it would depend on the situation, I think. Sometimes people say, you know, I'm just waiting on God, and really they're just, depends on, you know, things that were accomplished at the cross, you know, we just got to learn how to believe Him. You know, regardless if we're waiting on God or just for the situation to move, we got to learn to wait and be patient and believe. like I mentioned with Abraham, there was a time there because God knew what was within Abraham, that there was something within Abraham that when it went, what was it, 10 years or 13 years, that he knew his wife was going to say, I'm barren. Take Hagar and have a child because we got to do something here. And he knew Abraham would go, okay. You know? And so God allowed that time so that Abraham could do his own thing, so he would never go there again. Abraham had to know that it was God. And, you know, the truth of the matter is God is looking at things through an eternal calendar. Like I said, he's not just concerned with our momentary happiness. You know, James said in James chapter 4 that we have not because we ask not. So sometimes we don't receive because we don't ask. And then he says, and then you ask and you don't receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it upon your own pleasures. In other words, you're only praying for your own self now instead of out of love. And so he says, when you learn how to pray for the other person, not because they're driving you nuts, but you learn to pray for them because you love them and you don't, and if they didn't change towards you at all, but they change for their sake, you would pray. Does that make sense? When we can learn to do that, then we're praying in love. That's just an example. Or we can pray for situations, not because of what it's doing to me, but if it doesn't change what's going on with me, that's fine. I'm going to pray because it's going to help somebody else. When we learn to trust God in that way, then we're going to see some things move. Because you ask, or you receive not because you ask not. So God wants to answer. But then he says, and then people go and ask, it's because it's all about them. And he says, am I to be their sugar daddy and teach them how to be selfish? I want to teach them how to love. God wants to move. He wants to answer our prayers. I'm not saying you can never pray anything for yourself, but what's the focus? Amen? Good question. I don't. So. Yeah. Yeah. There is some things, like I said, people say, I'm just waiting on God. And really, it's like, you know, wait for healing. No, God wants to do that. But it's, you know, maybe we're just need to grow in our faith or whatever, because that's not, we don't want to get that confused. But it's those situations where, you know, this little circumstance or this person or these people or whatever it may be. So. How many are ready for a peace that really is beyond your understanding? I've been asking that for myself because hopefully not just for my own pleasure, but no, really, because I was laying on my bed, I think, getting up or something. I don't remember exactly. Anyhow, but I was just like, I was sensing, it wasn't that I was like in some new turmoil or something. It was just what I was. But all of a sudden I recognized there's not the peace in there that I can tell there's not peace. And it wasn't because I'm just like, oh, I'm not like hyperventilating or anything like that. I'm just waking up. But it's just like, no, there's an unsettledness that shouldn't be there. And it's not, there's that peace that goes beyond understanding. No, that's not there. And I was like, well, Lord, okay, you showed me this. Help me now. Identify those things and help me just to identify when my mind's going the wrong way or anything in my heart where I'm not really trusting you. Lord, show me. Because that's got to be there, you know? You know, people that are not in peace, they become more susceptible. It's a tough word for me. It's acceptable to things of the enemy many times. Because fear is a huge motivator. Even those subtle things, you know. And so, you know, Jesus, we read where he was tempted by the devil and he overcame. But then it said the devil left him for a more opportune time. Now, we know he never succeeded. Praise God. Praise God. But the devil wasn't just da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. No, he was waiting, waiting, waiting to try and cause him to stumble at the moment it would do the most harm. And it, the enemy, you know, he's not really patient, but he knows how to, but he's not dumb at what he's trying to do. He is dumb. But I say that, you know, I'm not just trying to call names. I don't really care about him. I mean, I don't care what he is. I mean, I care in the sense of what it means to me and how us to be victorious and his people to be victorious and how to stop him from doing what he wants to do that's not good. But, you know, I'm not one of those, I hate the devil. I don't know. I don't like him, but whatever. I love God. That's got to be our motivation. Not, I hate the devil. Yeah. I'm not going to let him glory in this. I don't care what he does. You know, his time's coming. He can do what he wants. I mean, he can't do what he wants, but I mean, he can feel how he wants. I don't care. Where was I? He waited for an opportune time. You know? And the enemy can try and set something up in you. Begin to speak some things in you that aren't actually causing you to look like you're nuts or do anything different, but it's because he's going to try and set something up. And so he's trying to set those fears in you. So when he does that, he can trigger it in you and come against you. So we want to take those, you know, not to be afraid of it, but to take it serious and say, Lord, okay. If there's things in me that the enemy can use or is planning to use, Lord, show it and shine your light on it and let's deal with it. You know? We want to walk in the kingdom. Repent, for the kingdom is at hand. I want to walk in the kingdom. How do I walk in the kingdom? By repentance. It's got to be a change of how I think. And that, therefore, there'll be a change in my actions too. Change in the way I speak. And there's going to be peace that's beyond understanding. Amen. That Paul said to the Philippians will actually guard like a wall around my heart and around my mind. So all of those things that the enemy tries to come against, that peace will block it. And people will look at you like you're weird, like, don't you care? What's wrong with you? He's a very present help in time of need. Though the mountains fall into the sea and the whole earth is shaken, I'm going to trust God. He's got my life. He's got me. He's got my family. The good work that he's begun, he's going to be faithful to complete. He's going to be faithful to me. He's going to be faithful to his people. He's a good God. Amen. Lord, Lord, Lord. I'll just share briefly now. I like this question and answer time. A lot of you look at some of Jesus' messages, it started with a question or a crazy comment. Tell my brother to give me my portion of the inheritance. Who made me your arbitrator? Actually, Jesus said, man, who made me your arbitrator? Right? I'm reading this here. As I was musing about how God was going to bring in a flood of miracles and healings through the church, the Lord spoke to my heart. You're going to see it as you preach on it. He said, you're going to see it more as you preach about it. Because faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So the consensus is, or the obvious thing is that we got to rise up in our faith. Faith grows, right? Go to Exodus 33. I'm just going to. Good. I got reason to be mad. I got reason to be sad. But you know what? I ain't. Nope, not going to do it. I got reason to go, not going to do it. Going to be joyful. I'm going to bless the Lord. He's at my right hand. I will not be shaken. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You ever hear that guy on the radio? I don't know if he's on anymore. He's probably not. But he'd say, let's praise the Lord 10 times. You ever hear him? Yeah. You heard him? I love him. He always preaches the word. I mean, you remember him? He's like, let's praise the Lord 10 times. He'd say, praise the Lord 10 times. And then he'd always finish on the last, he'd say, praise the Lord for the 10th time. And then he'd say, hallelujah. Even in my mind, that sounds strange. But I would praise the Lord with them, and I couldn't help but get happier. Let's praise the Lord 10 times. Ready? Praise the Lord. 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 Hallelujah. Woo! Hallelujah. Joy. Unspeakable. Glory and full of glory. Glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm just a fountain of the Holy Ghost waiting to happen. I'm just telling you. And just sometimes our mind we're just like inches away from, you can just be inches away from just one thought away from going from despair to joy and expectation. Just one thought. Just turn the page in your brain. Right? Sometimes you just gotta, turn the page in your brain. Glory. Am I making sense? You don't have to think on that. Think on these things. Think on these things, Paul said. Think on them. Things that are praiseworthy. Things that are truthful. Things that exalt God. Think on these things. I mean, that's an important thing. I mean, sometimes we think that we got to think on this thing over here. And he's like, no, you don't. You really don't. Where was I? I'm having fun tonight. Because I got joy unspeakable. Full of glory. And the peace is, I'm growing in peace. Thank you, God. Not where I'm going to be, but I wasn't where I was 3 days ago. Well, I didn't either. She said, I didn't know you were there. I didn't either. If you asked me if I had peace, I would have said, yeah, I'm good. It's amazing that our peace and what his peace is whoo, happiness and the joy, whoo, our love and his love, whoo, there you go, you're catching on. How much different is it? Whoo, really different. Sorry. Exodus 33:18-19. And he said, please show me your glory. And then he said, I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. And then go to Exodus 34, verse 6. Exodus 34, verse 6, and the Lord passed before him. Say, the Lord passed before him. And proclaimed the Lord, God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and by no means clearing the guilty. And we know that Jesus became our sin. He who knew no sin became our sin offering, that we could become his righteousness. So what did Moses ask? Show me your glory. I want to see the fullness of who you are. I want to know you. And God says, I'm going to pass before you and I'm going to proclaim my name. I'm going to proclaim who I am. And when God passes before him, he hears these things. The Lord God, merciful. Gracious, long-suffering, abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. That's who God is. He's merciful. He's merciful. He's long-suffering. He's abounding in grace. And he couldn't let sin go unpunished, so he let it come upon his son. That's the God we serve. I'm just talking to you for a minute here about the character of God. He's a good God. And how cliche-ish that can be. But the reality is, he is good. He doesn't just act good. He is goodness. And he never departs from that. It is who he is. He is merciful. He is long-suffering. He is gracious. He is one who wants to bestow good upon people. That's who God is. We have to have that in our heart. Amen? Go to Acts 10:37. 38. Thank you, Lord. I believe we're going to see a breakthrough. We're going to see an oasis of God. I wrote it down again. I think this might be a slightly different, but it's the same thing, basically. Oasis, because that was the word that I know that he gave me, that he was going to make, not, you know, our church, yes, but I'm sure it's, you know, so many others, but I know that he spoke it over new wine. He says, I'm going to make an oasis. And so I looked up the definition a couple weeks ago. I should have looked it up a long time ago, I guess, but it said a small, fertile, or green area in a desert region, usually having a spring or a well. So this is different than when I read a couple weeks ago. I don't know where I got that. So I looked it up again. I got a different one, but they're similar. A pleasant or peaceful area or period in the midst of a difficult or troubled or hectic place or situation. That's the second definition. An oasis. It's a place in the midst of dryness where there's not life. A place in the midst of it where there is life, there is water, there's life. Acts 10:37, are you there? 38. That word you know that was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Now, what we're focusing on tonight is the character of God, the love of God, God's will. Okay? So, Peter talking to the first Gentile converts here, he says, that word you know, verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. And what did he do? He went about doing, what did he do?
Good.
He went about doing good and healing all who oppressed the devil. For God was with him. And we're not talking down to you here, but let's just look at this scripture here. It's real simple. But Jesus did good, right? And what was the first thing he did as he did good? He went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed by the devil. Is God good? God is good. Is healing good? Healing is good. God is good. Healing's good. So God heals. Who oppressed? Say it again. Who oppressed? So Jesus healed all those who were oppressed by the devil. Where does oppression and sickness and disease come from? Say it loud like you mean it. It comes from the devil. Is the devil good or bad? The devil's bad. So let me tell you, sickness is bad. Disease is bad. Oppression is bad. Once again, I'm not talking down to you, but we got to get this straight within our thinking. We can talk about God use this and God use that. He may have, but healing is good. God is good. He's a healer. Sickness and oppression comes from the devil. He wants to heal. That is his ultimate plan for myself, for you, and for others, right? For every single one. If there are 7 billion people on the planet to the dot, then he wants 7 billion people healed. That's what he wants. That's his will. Hallelujah. That's good news. Go to Matthew. Go to Mark. I didn't put it in here. Yeah, go to Mark chapter 1, I think. I'm going to have to find it. Yeah, Mark chapter 1. So we don't want to, as we're hearing this, we don't want to just find out what the Bible means. We want to find out how to think, right? You hearing me? You with me? We don't want to find out what the Bible means. You know, end of story. I want to find out what this means. No, I want to find out how to think. So, Mark, so we're not just going to find out what this means. So we have right doctrine. We're going to find out how to think. Right? So Mark chapter 1, verse 40 says, now a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him and saying to him, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Then Jesus moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, I am willing, be cleansed. As soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. And he strictly warned him and sent him away at once and said to him, see that you say nothing to anyone, but go your way, show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing those things which Moses commanded as a testimony to them. However, he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the matter so that Jesus could no longer openly enter the city, but was outside in deserted places, and they came to him from every direction. This is the very first miracle. Well, no, it's the second one. I think it's the first one in Matthew. But it's at the beginning. to the beginning of Matthew, to the beginning in Mark. And it's like they want, it's like God wanted to establish at the beginning. I'm gonna show you some healings. I'm gonna show you how I healed them all, and I'm gonna give you some examples how things transpired. But let me put this one at the beginning. A leper who came to me and said, "If you're willing, you can make me whole." And it says Jesus was moved with compassion and said, "I am willing." So is Jesus willing? Jesus is willing. What made him willing? Compassion. Remember how we read in Exodus that he's merciful. He's long-suffering. He's gracious. He's not a computer. He's not just like, well, if you do this part of the equation, then I'll do mine. He's somebody who's good. And here was this man who knew what so many people know. If you're willing, you can. And it would be difficult to find someone who believed in God to say that they didn't believe God could heal them. But it's another story for them to believe that he wants to and he will. Right? He says, "I want to." He says to the man, "I want to." He says to you tonight, "I want to." He says to the person that you meet up with, that you pray for, "I want to heal them." When you pray for somebody, you should know that you have, God has got your back 100%. He wants to heal that person. I'm telling you, we're going to see it. We're going to see an oasis of God. And we're going to see an oasis of healings and miracles. We're going to contend for it. We're not contending with God. We're not trying to twist God's arm. "Come on, God, please." God's like, no, we're going to go after it. We're going to see that breakthrough. I mean, we're seeing people heal. We're seeing things happen. But it's going to, the explosion. It's got to come. It's going to come. Okay, now go to Matthew 14. You, Lord. Try and focus. Whenever the word is coming forth, try and put your attention on that word. Don't let your mind wander. I mean, a fly could cause you to miss a word from God. If you let it. Right? Enemy will try and get you thinking about something before you're going to hear a word. He's trying to, you know, he's antichrist. He is against the kingdom. He wants to rule the reign. How does the kingdom come forth? Through the word planted in our hearts. So is he against us? Yes, in one manner, but really above that, he does not want the word to get planted in our hearts. He wants you to start thinking about something else right now. That was for free. Matthew 14, verse 10. You there? So he sent and had... Oh, this was Herod who had John beheaded. This was the guy who was kind of wondering about Jesus' leadership. Here's how it ended. Him being beheaded. The man that Jesus said was the greatest man to ever live up until that time. That was his grand finale. He don't care no more. He's all happy now. He probably was then too. So he sent and had John beheaded in prison. And his head was brought on a platter and given to the girl, and she brought it to her mother. Gross. Verse 12. Then the disciples came and took away the body and buried it and went and told Jesus. He went and told Jesus. Verse 13. Then Jesus heard it, and he departed from there by boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the multitudes heard it, they followed him on foot from the cities. And when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion for them and healed their sick. Now, from just a natural standpoint, if there was ever a time, I would think that Jesus would not want to do this, it would be now. One, his cousin and the prophet that was sent before him didn't just die, but he was beheaded and his head was brought on a platter. And he goes to a boat to a deserted place, but they see him and bring the sick. And what does Jesus do? All right, I guess since you're here, no. He has compassion on them. Even in Jesus' time of mourning and time where he wanted to pray, nothing's changing the compassion of his heart. Nothing will change the compassion of God's heart to heal the sick. Because nothing will change God's compassion to reach out and want to help people. So he always wants to heal the sick. He always wants to set the oppressed free. He wants to make the blind see, the deaf hear. He wants to raise up the dead. Amen? Nothing. I just want that to just get in our hearts. Nothing is going to change the compassion. We see how Jesus healed this person and this person, but we see how the multitudes come and Jesus didn't go, well, you've been pretty good. You've been kind of a jerk. Why don't you come back later? He never did that. He healed them all. Do you think there were some jerks in that multitude? Some people that didn't deserve it, like us all? Yeah, there were. There were people kind of going, not so sure about this guy. Absolutely. But that doesn't change his compassion. He'll do good. He'll cause his sun to shine on the just and the unjust. It is who he is. Because we can't have these questionings of, well, maybe this one God doesn't want to heal. Ah! Sorry. No, that's not the Bible. That was towards that thought, not any person or anything. I want to make that clear. Hallelujah. You ready for more? Then ask for it. You ready to see more? And ask for it. He said, ask for rain in the time of latter rain, and he would give showers of rain. Ask for it. Ask God to pour out his spirit. Oh, I'm waiting. No, ask him. Ask him for divine appointments. Ask him for gifts of his spirit. Ask him. Not for you, but for people. Ask him. Amen? I dare you. Double dog dare you. Because he wants to do it. Can smile. It's okay. You sure you guys are doing okay? You can listen with a smile on your face. There you go, Gary. That's good. Well, I got some other good stuff, but I think we're done. Lord, we thank you. What's happening with my English? Thank you. Lord, help my English. Lord, we thank you. How many of you believe in that things are just going to bust wide open? Keep praying, keep asking, keep being faithful to Him, like you know it's true. You can't sow to the Spirit and not reap. Think of the difference between the seed and what it produces. So everything that you do, it may be those that faithfulness that no one sees, the time in prayer that no one sees, the time you loved when it wasn't as easy. You can't sow to the Spirit without reaping. And once again, it's not just on a temporal calendar. It's on an eternal calendar. Amen? So Lord, we just pray. Father, we just ask God that you let this word just sink in that was spoken tonight. Father, it was all for all of us. But there may be specific things that were very important for some people in here. And I just ask that you would continue to bring light in those areas. You said that your Holy Spirit would teach us all things and remind us of what you said and show us things to come. So I thank you for reminding us of the things that we need to be reminded of and teaching us what we need to be taught. We bless you. We bless you. We bless you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Why don't we just stand up for a minute? If there's anybody who needs prayer, I want to invite you forward. Just come forward and we'll pray for you tonight.